The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now we're going to talk about nuclear fuel. Fianna Fáil MEP Billy Kelleher says he's going to back a motion to overturn a ban on nuclear energy in this country. A motion in favour of nuclear power is to go before the Fianna Fáil Ardéis next month. But is it the panacea for our energy concerns? I'm joined by Billy Kelleher, and Oisín Coughlan is here with me in the studio, Public Policy Advisor for the Environmental Pillar. And we will talk about nuclear energy and whether we should open up the debate on it in just a moment. But the elephant in the room today and what everybody is talking about, Billy, and I'll start with you on this, is the fuel protests, which are happening right around the country. They are pretty much intensifying today from what we can glean. We've had that statement from the Minister for Justice today saying that he has sought assistance from the Defence Forces with this. So the expectation is that the Army is going to get involved at the crunch points where critical infrastructure is being blocked. What's your view on it? Do you think it's time now that the government should engage with the protesters, or are you happy that the heavy hand is the right way to go?
Well, look, I've seen heavy hands being used before for protests in France and Germany and Belgium elsewhere. And, you know, at the end of the day, it just divides society and makes things more, difficult to come to an accommodation at the end of the day. I think what's important is that the protesters must accept that fuel has to flow. And we can't have a situation where we completely jeopardise the economy. People's livelihoods are at stake. People's lives are at stake, potentially in the context of emergency. So the fuel must flow from Whitegate and from Foynes and Galway and elsewhere. But I think what should happen is the protesters themselves, if they can actually get together a group of people that represent the entirety of the protesters, and that they could sit down and meet with government representatives. But we can't have a situation. I've treated
the government won't meet them. The government won't meet them.
Yeah, but I think if in the event of there being just a group of people that were accepted as the leadership of this particular protest group, that they could come together. But we can't have a situation where one group of protesters from Cork want to meet the government, another group from Limerick, another group from Clare. There has to be some new uniformity. I have three different proposals in my emails and on my phone from different groups looking for different things to be done by the government in the context of alleviating the fuel crisis. So, like, the protesters have to accept that they can't continue to block critical infrastructure, block the flow of fuel to the broader economy. But at the same time, we have to try and get people engaged. Like, we have a representative democracy as well. The Dáil will be reconvening. Political parties can raise these particular issues.
Yeah,
but I think at the same time, we have to accept that.
I'm very interested to hear you say, though, that, you know, government should meet these people if a coherent group can be put together and a meeting organised on that basis. That is a shift from what we have been hearing from the upper echelon, certainly, of government.
Well, I think what the government have said clearly is they can't, you know, I mean, there is no representative group that are advocating for the entirety of the protesters. They're disparate across the country. They have different proposals, different ideas. Some protesters are saying that they're not supporting the blockading of the refinery, for example, in Whitegate. I've had people on to me from Cork saying they're disassociating from that. Mm-hmm. So, but what we need to do is try and get to a situation where fuel can flow and where the genuine concerns that are real and palpable out there among the agricultural contractors, the hauliers, the coach drivers, and the okay. broader economy that uses white diesel to power their own business,
right.
And more importantly, the economy as well. So we do have to get them inside the tent some way, but they can't be outside protesting and inside the tent at the same time.
Okay, what's your view on it, Oisín?
So look, I'm really sympathetic to the impact that the fuel costs are having on everybody, and we need hauliers, school coaches, agricultural contractors to be able to work. But I do think there's the government is not responsible for the huge surge in oil prices. That is obviously clearly Donald Trump. They are responsible for our over-reliance on fossil fuels still, and I'm sure we'll come back to that when we talk to Billy about nuclear. And weirdly, the protesters and what they're doing now are kind of like demonstrating even more how reliant we are on fossil fuels by blocking access to that fuel and by blocking the roads where. So it seems a slightly mixed messaging to me. I think the government shouldn't just be meeting the IFA and the farming organisations. They should bring together the five pillars of social dialogue, as it's now called, the employers, the trade unions, environment, social and farming. There are, the National Economic and Social Council does that, the National Economic Dialogue does that. Let's bring all those pillars together to look at not just the immediate problem, but through to the budget and beyond, how we protect the most vulnerable and how we accelerate the transition away from our over-reliance on fossil fuels,
okay.
which is the government's own policy.
Well, Billy, you're interested in accelerating that transition away by exploring nuclear, is that right?
Yes, and Claire, I didn't raise this just because of the context of the rising fuel prices and, you know, the crisis in the Middle East, and it's showing how reliant we are on fossil fuels. But we've been debating this for a long time in Europe, but certainly nuclear is a part of the broader energy mix in Europe. 12 countries in the European Union use it. We're importing electricity generated from nuclear from the United Kingdom. We'll soon be doing it from France. And look, on the island of Ireland, there's over 7 million people now residing. And I think that on an all-island economy concept, that looking at nuclear, in other words, not dismissing it just because of views that were taken in the 70s and 80s, that we would actually have a detailed analysis as to whether or not nuclear could provide some of the makeup that is required for a broad spectrum of renewables and clean fuels that nuclear is in terms of carbon, free electricity. Yeah, so bearing in mind that half the electricity generated in Europe in any one year of carbon-free electricity is nuclear power.
It comes from nuclear. So we're using it. We just don't produce it.
Yes, and I think like with the advances in technology and with the moves that are afoot now with regard to small modular nuclear reactors, I think that we shouldn't be dismissing it. And bear in mind, countries smaller than Ireland in the context of population, like Slovakia, for example, Finland, are very involved again in a further rollout of nuclear. Slovenia, which is a very small country, has nuclear as well.
Okay.
Germany, which decided to unwind its redundant nuclear, effectively, they are now regretting it considerably. In fact, the Chancellor of the Exchequer said recently it was a mad decision to take to unwind their nuclear capabilities that they had for a number of years.
So given all of that, Oisin, and the fact that there is an irony, isn't it, that we're importing nuclear generated fuel from the UK and will be from France, but we refuse to discuss generating it ourselves. Should we be having a conversation?
Well, we are having a conversation, and I've had plenty of conversations over the last 20 years about whether nuclear has a role to play in Ireland. For me, it's about the cost and the time, and it's a big distraction. We have huge opportunities and huge challenges around energy right now, and nuclear takes away political bandwidth, legislative bandwidth, public bandwidth from what we need to be doing around retrofitting, around solar, around wind. Like we don't have a comparative advantage on nuclear. We don't produce oil and gas. We have to import them. We have a comparative advantage around wind and around solar because it's daylight that matters now, not solar, not sun itself, and we have plenty of that. So we could be and should be focusing on that.
So it'd be quicker and cheaper.
Absolutely. Like, take the Finnish example that Billy mentioned there. Yeah. That decision was taken in 2002. It came online in 2023. It was supposed to be 2009. It was supposed to cost 3 billion. It cost 13 billion. So it took 14 years longer. It took three times as much money. And it's the only one that's come on stream in the last 20 years in Europe. So it's a distraction. And that station is it's about 2 gigawatts of power, right? And to give you an example now, it's not directly comparable, but just last year alone, we put almost 20 gigawatts of wind on the grid in Europe, and I think it's 65 gigawatts of solar. Now, they don't generate on the same basis, but even allowing for the fact that wind and solar are more intermittent, it's a multiple in 1 year of what that nuclear station that took 20 years to build is producing.
I mean, Billy, we're so used to projects running over time and over budget here. Do we really want to go down this road, given the Finnish example?
Well, I mean, the Finnish example is an example of people planning in advance and actually making decisions and executing them. Yes, there was rising costs, but there was also inflationary costs across the entirety of the construction industry over those years.
But do we want a 13 billion project that's going to take 20 years?
But like, if you never start, you'll never have it. And the idea that, we import all our windmills, we import all our photovoltaics. So, we are dependent on importing to maximise our energy and our solar capacity already and our wind energy capacity already. But I'm just making the point that, like, with the advances in technology, with the greater capabilities that are out there, France is already doing this. They're now involved in another round of increasing their capacity in nuclear. Other small countries are at it as well. The idea that, we would just dismiss it because we don't want to discuss it based on ideological views from way back in the 70s and 80s, in my view, is irresponsible. We're trying to develop an all-island economy, in particular in the area of energy. That would mean 7.5 million people on the island. And I believe that, the issue of nuclear should not be dismissed out of hand, either for fears or for ideological reasons. It should be based on science, engineering, economics, and the environment.
I'm not dismissing it on an ideological basis or on whimsical basis. And practically, what is fastest and cheapest to make a difference to Irish consumers and reduce energy costs as quickly as possible. If we have enough wind, our the price of electricity will be, it's already reducing the price of electricity, it'll determine the price of electricity, and we have huge offshore resources that are taking too long to develop. We have to balance that with nature protection, but we need to get that offshore wind going. We have to build the ports to do it. And yes, we have to import some of the technology, but that technology is getting cheaper, and solar technology is getting cheaper, battery technology is getting cheaper. We can store the solar to offset the fact it's generated during the day and you can use it at night. We should interconnect to France, as we are going to do, and maybe another line to the UK, and ultimately maybe a connection to Spain, so we can trade solar with them. That is the long-term energy security we can be doing. It'll be much more reliable and much faster and much more
Can we not, though, Oisin, do several things at once, like travel down the road we're on with wind and with solar, but also explore nuclear?
There's a limit to what the political system and indeed the public system can do at one time. We know that there's just limited bandwidth in terms of political decision making and progress. I have no problem with it being discussed. Maybe we could have a citizens' assembly on not just on nuclear alone, but on the energy transition and how we want to power Ireland into the future. They produced very interesting results when it came to social issues and indeed on climate change. The citizens' assembly was very influential. Let's have a citizens' assembly on the energy transition over the next two or three years while we get on with the immediate challenges around, like the school buses might be off the road after Easter, but in fact every child who wants a school bus should be able to get one in September, and we know what that does to traffic and congestion when the cars are off the road.
All right, so Billy, would a citizens' assembly do you?
Well, look, a mature dialogue is what I'm saying we should have. So something that would, you know, at least allow us to have a discussion, to look at it from the point of view of the empirical evidence that's out there, science, engineering, economics and the environment. And bear in mind, I mean, like, we will be using gas for a very long period of time if we don't substitute gas with something else. Because the idea that wind and solar can be converted into hydrogen stored, you know, very, very quickly and very, very easily and not with a lot of expense, simply dismisses the reality that you have to have base load capacity in your grid at all times.
All right.
And at the moment, that's been provided by gas. And, you know, we want to wean ourselves from that. And I'm just saying that nuclear is a potential option, particularly in an all-island basis.
No doubt we will be having this conversation again. But for now, thank you both, Oisin Coughlan and Billy Kelleher. We'll be back after this break.
The Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.